they tried to cross the border into Canada, and when they came up to the border, they were asked what their citizenship was, and the driver, who was from southern Indiana, says, "I'm Chinese." And then he was surprised when they pulled him over and then sent them back to the United States. His approach was off. That's not the approach you take in a situation like that. What kind of approach do we have in our lives? What's our approach in our family? What's our approach at work? Maybe most importantly, what's our approach to God in worship? Because that's where we're going to find out what's really going on and what's really expected. So Nadab and Abihu go to worship, and they don't come out. What was the problem? Well, if we look at the text isn't specific about what the problem is, but what it implies to us is that they had a high level of disrespect in what they were doing. A high level of disrespect. They were going in, they went in to worship according to what the instructions were given, but then they added a step. They offered unauthorized fire before the Lord that was contrary to his command. Now, if you read commentaries, there's speculation about the incense that they added has something to do with idol worship or with worship of false gods, or it might be that they actually went into the most holy place and they weren't supposed to, or it might be that they were trying to officiate while drunk, which explains some of the commands given later that they're not to do these things. But what happened is they went in and they died. Their approach was way off. Now, I know most of us probably have heard this passage brought up in the context of our worship. We don't add to what God commands, because when we add to what God commands, people get struck down. But I want to show us something. I read it. You heard it read. So we have that concern where they added to what God instructed and they were done. But watch this. Did you see what happened down in verse 16 and following? When Moses inquired about the goat of the sin offering and found that it had been burned up versus being eaten, he was angry with the sons of Aaron. And he says to Aaron, "Since its blood was not taken into the holy place, you should have eaten the goat in the sanctuary area as I commanded." So we see two sons of Aaron break the command, and they're struck down. And then we see the other two sons of Aaron break a command, they're not struck down. You see, so we have to ask what's going on. Now, I know somebody's going to read the text. Somebody's going to look at this and say, well, but it's what the other two sons broke what Moses commanded. Because Moses says in verse 18, "as I commanded." But we have to remember that throughout the entire books of the law, Moses is the spokesman for God. What Moses says is the words of God. But we also get an indication that Aaron himself didn't understand this as being about Moses' command. Aaron understood this as being about the words and command of God. Look at how he answers Moses. He says in verse 19, "Today they sacrifice their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, but such things as this have happened to me. Would the Lord have been pleased if I had eaten the sin offering today?" He does not say, "Moses, you wouldn't have been pleased if I had done this." He says, "Here's the command. But would the Lord have been pleased if I had done that?" Now think about what's going on in this passage, because this is tremendous. Two guys break a command, they're done. We expect that, right? We expect to see that in the Bible. Two guys break a command, they're done. What we don't expect to see is two more guys break a command, and they're fine. Because look at what it says in verse 20. When Moses heard this, he was what? He was satisfied, right? Everybody see that? He was satisfied. He accepted Aaron's explanation about why Aaron broke the command. He broke the command. So we have two cases in this passage of disobedience to the command of God. One of them, the one that we like to look, I told my friend I was going to preach on this sermon, and I told him the direction I was trying to go in, and he said, oddly enough, we don't hear many sermons about the end of Leviticus chapter 10, because what we have is a situation where the sons of Aaron break the command, and Moses accepts their answer. Why? Now, I want to be real careful that everybody understands that I am not advocating that we break the commands of God. What I am advocating is that we take a good, long, hard look at what Aaron's motivation was for why he did what he did. Keep in mind, this is the same day where two of his sons were carted out dead because they broke the command of God. So you have to imagine that forefront on his mind is the desire to be obedient to God. Forefront of his mind. And now, he has a command put in front of him. And despite the fact that he's going to have keeping the command of God and being obedient to God on the forefront of his mind, they don't keep the command. They're disobedient to that command. But Aaron says about his own motivation, he says, look at what happened today. They sacrificed their sin offering, their burnt offering before the Lord, and look at what happened. Look at what happened. Moses knows what happened. He's the one that ordered them to be carted out. And Aaron says, would the Lord have been pleased if I had eaten the sin offering today? So Aaron says, I know what the command is. But in light of the circumstances and the situation, it would have been dishonorable to the Lord for me to have kept that command in that way. And so Aaron shows an aptitude to consider in his life how the things that he does are honoring or dishonoring to the Lord. And Aaron is showing us a way of understanding the law in a way, or understand the commands of God in a way that challenges us to consider how we are being honoring to God. So let's go back to Nadab and Abihu, because they still broke a command and they were done. Here's the problem. Their approach was an approach of arrogance. And Aaron's approach was an approach of humility. These guys went in. No matter what they did, no matter what it was, they ended up breaking a command of God. Nothing in the text indicates that they were trying to be careful. Nothing in the text indicates that they were giving any thought to God. In fact, the text indicates that they may have been trying to take the worship of false gods into the holy place. The text indicates that they may have been drunk while they were trying to do this. There were several problems with the approach of Nadab and Abihu. Aaron's other sons break the command, but they show a conscientious thought towards what right now, what would be the most honoring thing to the Lord. And that's what they did. There's a tremendous humility about Aaron and about his other two sons and about what they did. That's why I said I want to talk to us about downward mobility this morning, because that's what we see with Aaron. Aaron was not out there trying to place himself at the top. Aaron was not out there trying to say, look at how good I am. Look at all the commands I've kept. Look at the things that I've done for God. Aaron was out there thinking through, what is it that I'm doing and how is that honoring or dishonoring to the Lord? And their approach was so much different than the approach of Nadab and Abihu, that despite the fact that both of them broke commands, some of them were saved and some of them were destroyed. And it's the fact that all five of them evidently broke the command in some way, but not all of them were treated the same way as Nadab and Abihu, that says that we need to look at what our approach is. So I want to ask us, what is our approach? Do we have, when we come before the Lord, a hard heart that's focused on getting what we want, worshiping the way that we want to worship, sitting where we want to sit, using a translation that we want to use, singing the songs that we want to sing, and calling that worship because it happened to line up for us today the way that we wanted? Or do we have a humble heart that's here to seek the Lord? Why are we here? What are we doing here? We need to be moved from haughtiness to humility in the light of God's holiness. That's what Aaron saw. He saw God's holiness. And he said, I can't do this because it would be displeasing to the Lord. How many of us, when we come in here today, have those sorts of thoughts about, here I am to worship, but even though we're here to worship, we're not really giving a thought about God. We're singing some songs. We're complaining when the right slide doesn't come up. We're tuning out for the scripture reading because it's up on the screen. We can glance at it here and there. You're worried now about getting out to eat. I am too, but we need to deal with God first. It's about our approach. And whether we want to be here today to put ourselves before God to seek Him or to get through some things. So Nadab and Abihu, they showed up to church to get through some things. Aaron showed up to church to worship God. What is your approach? I don't know. I mean, I'll confess that many times I come in here, my thoughts are on everything else other than worshiping God. Someone will try to let me off the hook and say, well, you're busy, there's a lot going on, it doesn't matter. If we're going to be here to worship, I need to help take the lead in that as someone who's going to stand up here for a good portion of the service and talk to you about that very thing. We need to ask ourselves where we're at with this. And if we came in today, maybe we didn't come in with an arrogant attitude, but maybe we came in today with a lot of circumstances weighing on our hearts and our minds. Everyone's busy. Everyone's got challenges. Everybody's struggling. And sometimes those things can get in the way of our approach to God. And I'm not putting those in the same category as arrogance. But there's still things that we need to deal with before God. And the only way to deal with those things is to actually pray to God about those things and ask Him for His help. Because how many of us are here with a situation that we've been worrying about for hours, days, or weeks, and it hasn't gotten any better under our control? And so now we need to realize that the only way that situation is going to get better is if we let God take control of it, and then we follow Him however He leads us. So this morning, what I want to do is close in prayer, then we're going to sing our song, and it's an invitation. I don't always talk about it. It's always available. But sometimes we look at the invitation in terms of coming for baptism, coming for prayer because you need to repent of something. But I want us to look at the invitation this morning as a call for those of us who are here who need to say, God, I'm here to seek You, and I need to pray about that. And so anybody that would like to come forward at that time, we'll just have a time of prayer. Nobody needs to come and confess anything. Nobody needs to come and give a speech about anything. Nobody needs to feel bad about anything. You're welcome to come up and sit on the stage, sit in the chairs that we have in the front, a couple of rows open over here. And we can just have a time of prayer over what it is that we're trying to do here. Because it's not right for us to approach a holy God and to come before His holiness and to say, I'm just doing some things this morning. So let's go ahead and pray, and then after our prayer, we'll have Dave lead us in that song. So God, You've heard our speech this morning, and you know the condition of our hearts, and you know what's weighing on us, what concerns we have, what situations we're facing, and we attest to you this morning, God, that we cannot resolve the problems of our lives on our own. We need you. We need you to break through into our lives and situations. And so we call upon your name this morning, God, to give us that conviction that will drive us towards you, so that we, like Aaron, will give thought and attention towards being pleasing and honoring to you in everything that we do in our lives. Father, we're worshiping here this morning. We're going to leave in just a little bit, but this is an attitude of heart that needs to be carried with us as we go. So would you please give us that attitude of heart and that conviction to think about you and your holiness moment by moment, even as we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.